This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You are listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast brought to you by Birmingham Live.
Hello and welcome back to the Claret and Blue podcast, tonight live on Facebook, YouTube and Twitter, apparently, so enjoy that for the Twitter fans out there. We've both gone for the Nike classic look this evening, which is unplanned but nice. Aston Villa 0, Leeds United 3. Disappointing, Matt.
I've just heard some wheels rolling down the road that have fallen off our title-winning bandwagon.
I'm gutted to say that we started last week's episode going, oh my God, we're going to win the league. I think we're going to go down, Matt. That's how I feel tonight. I'm joking. It's disappointing. It's a strange game. I don't know whether it's because I'm not a massive football analyst. Oh dear, great start. But for the first half, I was thinking, oh, you know what? There's a lot of hype about Leeds and they're talking them up, saying, great on the counter-attack, so fit, so this, so that. And I'm thinking, are they? Are they really? At half-time this is. I'm thinking, yeah, we're still in this. We're still okay. Let's not go too crazy. And at full-time, I think, yes, they were quite good, weren't they? Great on the counter-attack. It was really nice to see as a... Not from a Villa perspective. I don't know where I'm going with this. But what I'm saying is, even right at the end, they're on the counter-attack and there's like seven Leeds players in our box. It's a nice way of playing, isn't it? It's just very, very disappointing from a Villa perspective.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, Leeds are good on the break, but Villa were particularly bad for the defending, I think. The first goal. You know, it's...
Two great finishes as well out of three. We'll talk about Patrick Bamford. There's two great finishes out of the three as well, and we will talk about Patrick Bamford in more length in a little bit, but yeah, it's not great from Villa there tonight.
Yeah, I mean, the first goal that was the breakthrough goal was quite a scruffy goal to concede, I think, and I think it was Ross Barkley and Trezeguet, I think, who failed to pick the runners, and probably because Leeds did kind of catapult forward at such a rate, that kind of... half tracking back from Trezeguet and Barkley might have been enough against most opponents to have, denied him space on the edge of the box. But the damage was already done by the time that they realised that their men had got the wrong side of them. And just had to be Bamford, didn't it? I've had the commentary on on WM and just saying, kind of, if it had been a full Villa Park, it'd have probably, you know, he'd have had so much stick, wouldn't he? I mean, might as well talk about him anyway, because he's the one who's he's got the hat trick. I think you call him Hat Trick Bamford. I'll call him
annoyingly proud of Hat Trick Bamford on Twitter. It's weird, and I there will be a couple of Leeds fans that scroll across this podcast at some point, whether it's tonight or on YouTube later or whatever, and I know they're going to give me stick for it in the comments, so go for it, because I know what this looks like. It makes me look like a very bitter man that he's just scored a hat-trick against us, but I cannot stand Patrick Bamford as a footballer, as a player, as a person. I just really hate him. I know that looks so bitter after what he's just done, but even before that, I just really dislike him. I don't dislike many players, but he's right up there.
Yeah, but I think if you only dislike a player, then a player has just scored a hat-trick against your team.
It just makes me look bitter, but I disliked him before tonight.
Oh, mate, this is our podcast. You're allowed to be bitter.
All right, fair.
I think the third goal, I thought Villa made him look like Bergkamp.
Someone just said that in the comments. I don't know whether you can see the comments. So no, he made him look like a prime Bergkamp.
It was a good finish. The second one was a good finish as well. I've been moulding bits together from Twitter clips. so it's been Mark Regan, and there you go.
That's the one.
Mark Regan and Gary Thompson on the radio, plus whatever bits and pieces I could piece together off social media. I'm not paying the $14.95.
Nor am I.
Neither am I giving it to charity this week either. I'm spending it on BrewDog. the goals, the second and third goals were quality. I mean, I've seen a theory that, when he collapsed as if he'd been shot in the penalty area, and Mings kind of dragged him up
big fan of that,
by the scruff of the neck. The theory is that roiled him. I'm not sure if Patrick Bamford
get roiled.
But yeah, the finishes were great. He got too much time and space for all three, if we're being honest. But I don't, the annoying thing, and this is really petty and really pathetic.
Oh, I love a bit of that. Go on, hit me.
But just avoiding defeat would have just put us top of town. And I know we weren't going to win the league even prior to tonight's game. But just to put us top, what a transformation. It's still been a transformation, don't get me wrong. But what a nice feeling. Well, I'll tell you what's really frustrated me. I actually was digging out the kind of league table and trying to. I did some homework trying to find some stats. Wow. About the last time we went top of the league in October. I've got them still. October, October 2001. Angel scored twice, yada, yada, but it doesn't matter now. We'll have to save that until Villa recover from this and win the next four on the trot and then get top of the league again.
That's all about no Villa side in history has ever won the first five games of a season. That continues for another year. Maybe next year we'll do it. It's strange, isn't it? Because I said when we started this, just before we were about to start, I was like, I haven't even washed my hair. Don't really want to do this. Just can't, not in the mood for it one bit. I feel really disappointed. And you're like, yeah, but come on, we still won four out of five, which, yes, that is the main point, isn't it? It's very much a Dean Smith thing not to get too high when we're winning four in a row and not to be too down in the dumps after being beat by Leeds. Somebody did say in the preview video that we did, somebody in the comments saying something like, it was a Leeds fan, but saying something like, I'm looking forward to seeing Leeds teaching Villa a bit of a lesson. And it was a little bit like that, to be honest, in the second half today.
I don't know, but I don't think we're talking about kind of Real Madrid versus, Josh's under 12s. I think just Villa were poor. I think Villa, the interesting thing for me was it was the first time Villa had fallen behind, and what was the response like to falling behind? Not very good, to be honest. So that's the thing. It's easy for a team to kind of, when they're flooding with confidence, to go on and on and on. But yeah. Listen, I don't want to hark back to last season too much because I think they're a different beast from last season. But they look too brittle when something went against them. It's one of those, isn't it? I'd just kind of write it off. You'd have taken, what are we, 12 points from five games, still second in the second in the league even. It's been a cracking start.
In the league.
Absolutely brilliant start. Game. So if it means that Patrick has his moment against us and you hate him even more for a while, then so be it.
Have you got a hated footballer? Just general question.
Probably from a Villa point of view, it's probably Robbie Fowler back in the day, just because he used to score so many goals against us. A lot of them at the halt end as well. And I used to kind of stand or sit down the front of the halt end. So I'd probably see him wheel away in delight. Most seasons, but I suppose it's the usual, isn't it? It's the kind of Robbie Savage and Paul Tate, the ones that we raised and brought up to despise, really.
Yeah.
Patrick Bamford, I don't know,
he just annoys me. I don't know what it is about him. Oh God, it's just even thinking about it is winding me up. Especially when you see all the stuff about Grealish is this, Grealish is a diver. Patrick Bamford plays for Leeds, mate. What are you talking about? He's a joke for it.
Well, I remember after the old El Ghazi incident back up there, I remember, I don't know, 6 months, a year later, Bamford coming out and saying he regretted it and, he should have known better and all that kind of thing. And I thought, oh, well, maybe he's a reformed character. And then you know, how much do you regret it? You don't regret it that much if you're still pulling those tricks. And especially when you've got that in your locker, the finishes that, he stays on his feet. He scores three goals.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I was after the first half, I was just kind of, I was quite entertained. I was entertained by Ayling falling over. That was quite amusing. And what did you make of this Grealish first touch that's doing the rounds.
Oh, the little flick.
Yeah.
Oh, sexy. Big fan of that.
Some people are saying, you know, it was flamey, and other people are saying, well, he gave the ball away, didn't he? He gave the ball away. So it wasn't very good. I'd rather revel in the aesthetic beauty of it rather than worried about what happened next.
I mean, if he maybe had kept onto the ball and we'd scored and we didn't lose 3-0, maybe I'd have been thinking, yeah, let's go with that. But we lost, so at least I'm buying something from tonight. We could talk about his run. Have you seen that? The run from about 10 yards off his own penalty area all the way up.
I've heard it described.
You've heard about it.
I've heard it described on the BBC. That's what I pay my licence fee for. It was made.
Do you want me to tell you about it?
Diego Maradona, from what it was described on.
Yeah, fair.
On the radio, what was it? Any good?
What it reminded me of is a goal he scored when he first broke onto the scene. I don't know whether it was with the Villa Academy or whether it was when he was at Notts County. And there's a goal he scored when he runs from nowhere near as deep, somewhere in the opposition half, but he keeps running and running and running past the goalkeeper, like right deep into the penalty area. It was basically like that. He just kept going and going. You're thinking, oh, he could shoot from the edge of the area, and he keeps going. Another touch, two touches, three touches, four touches, and then goes for the shot, trying to take it all the way around. But the run was from, if this is the pitch, the whole pitch, he was like, which way is it? He was like here, runs all the way. And then all the way, and then falls at the final hurdle.
For the audio listeners, Dan has his hands about 30 centimetres apart. I think he scored his first, he might have been his first professional goal for Notts County. He scored, I think, similar like that. And then he runs to the stand and gives his dad a big hug. Wasn't one of his early Villa goals like that as well?
Was it against Rotherham?
Yeah,
it's kind of like that, yeah. That's kind of similar style, trying to go as far as he can, take it to the nth degree. There's a lot of comments coming in, people talking about the players they hate, which I quite like. That's the topic of conversation tonight. Instead, there's a few Leeds fans in here watching, which, yeah, fair play to them. What do you think of Leeds? I suppose we should talk about them and give them a bit of credit. I remember saying before, I think probably not on a podcast, but that, no, it was on a podcast actually, the one you and me did about the whole Bielsa thing. Why is Dean Smith not getting any credit, which I still do believe that, by the way. But they are decent, aren't they?
I don't want to say nice things about Leeds.
Are you one of these people that hates Leeds? Because there's a bit of a thing, isn't there, that, you know, dirty Leeds and all that kind of thing from the olden days.
Never prior to a couple of years ago, to be honest. I just think it's probably one of those kind of fake rivalries that has emerged from nowhere. I don't think there was much beef between the two clubs prior to that Ellen Road nonsense a couple of seasons ago. No, I don't. I've not really got any strong feelings either way for Leeds. I'd just rather talk about Aston Villa, to be honest.
Yeah, fine. Right.
Sorry, we're not catering to our part-time viewers there. But
that's fine. So what went wrong for Villa then? Was it just a case of them being fitter and being very, you know, ruthless on the counter attack? Is it as simple as that, or were we tactically not great tonight either?
Well, I thought the first half was quite even. I thought Villa probably had the best chance with the Grealish one that was hacked off the line. I just think it was, I don't know whether it was a bit of fatigue from Ross Barkley because he's not quite been fit enough,
or he wasn't
whether they weren't quite switched on. I think the first, you know, this is football cliche, but I think the first goal was going to be really, really important. And I think Leeds obviously play with this all action kind of swashbuckling, fast paced style. And I think getting the goal when they did gave them the energy to continue playing like that. I think.
Yeah.
If the game would have gone on even longer, it might have been a bit hard for Leeds to sustain it, but they were buzzing, weren't they, after them? I don't know. I don't think there'll be a massive amount of difference between where those two teams finish in the table over the course of the season, if I'm being honest. I mean, I'm not sure it'll stay second and third, which I think it is at the moment. I think I probably got it down, Villa finishing 15th and Leeds finishing in 16th. I think there'll be two or three places between them. But no, fair play to them. I like the fact, especially with all that's going on in the Premier League at the moment, whether it's Project Restart or European Super Leagues or whatever the talk is of the escape plan for the so-called big boys. I like the fact that there's a few kind of new faces, albeit, you know, half a dozen games into the season. I like there's a few faces that are kind of upsetting upsetting the natural order at the moment. Yeah, which, if anything, it will probably mean that they all gather around their little kind of secret meetings to get out of here even faster to protect their millions and billions. But no, I like it. I like the fact that it's looking a bit different up there, especially with Aston Villa. I couldn't really care about the others.
I just want to go back actually to what I just said about our fair play to Leeds. You know, a lot of Leeds fans watching, respect to them. I've changed my mind because I'm reading the comments and they're weird. It's just like berating us. It's just, what are you doing? You just won 3-0, leave us alone. There doesn't seem to be many Villa fans watching. It's just people calling us names. So get out of here.
It's fine. Thank you for joining us.
Talk about Villa for a second though. Do you think that we didn't really have anything to change it? Is that a bit of a problem?
Anything to change
it off the bench? Traore comes on 65 minutes, I think, and he doesn't really do enough. And I'm not saying that, you know, oh, let's blame him because the game was gone or going. But do you look at that and think, or are you concerned that we looked to the bench and we weren't able to change what Leeds were doing to us tonight?
Potentially, but I just think it was a collective off day, wasn't it? You know, if you'd have had half a dozen of Villa's players playing anything like they've been playing in recent weeks, you wouldn't have been looking to the bench. So I take your point that if your first team are not at their best, you need something off the bench. But we've said that all along, haven't we? You know, I think he change at the bench tonight. I think he put David on instead of El Ghazi on the bench tonight.
Could he not come on and we'd go maybe two up front, having Davis play next to Watkins? Is that a thing?
I don't know. I mean, Villa still created, didn't they? You know, Watkins had a chance towards the end. I just think Leeds were just more clinical on the night, to be honest. I don't think there's a great deal beneath the surface, beneath that Villa starting 11, if I'm honest. But I don't know. I just think it was an off day.
Do you think, so could you almost write that off in a sense that you wouldn't be too concerned going forward from what you've seen tonight that, oh no, Villa actually might be rubbish this season? Because surely you then would be forgetting what we've seen in the first four games, wouldn't you, if you did that?
Yeah, and despite me probably whipping it up in previous podcasts, I didn't believe we were going to finish in the European, you know, in the Champions League places after the last couple of results. So I think I think over the course of the season they'll find the natural place, which I think will be about halfway down the table. So
yeah.
I wouldn't get too upset about it tonight.
There's a lot of comments coming through saying that if we bounce back against Southampton and beat them next game, that we'll pretty much very quickly forget about tonight.
I think so. I think that's fair, because what will that be then?
That's kind of 15 points out of 18. Yeah.
Yeah,
still title winning form, isn't it?
It's phenomenal form, isn't it? Really, I think the thing that makes it feel worse is because there is this kind of faux grudge between the two teams.
Yeah, maybe it is that. There's a comment there from one Leeds fan that seems to make some bit of sense. He says the way that you guys feel about Bamford is how we feel about Grealish. We just hate him. Which, yeah.
That's what being a football fan's about, though, isn't it? You've got to have kind of irrational hatred for your rivals.
I think it's almost a little bit to a much lesser extent because they're not local. But when you see Wolves doing well and Villa and Wolves having a bit of bite back and forth, whereas if you take a step back, you look at it and go, well, it's good for the league, isn't it? You know, someone else coming in and upsetting it a little bit, good for the area, all that kind of thing. For Villa and Leeds to finish mid-table-ish in the Premier League, that's a good thing, isn't it, really? Let's all be nice.
Listen, I would rather, and this sounds real delusions of grandeur, but I'd rather have Aston Villa and Leeds United in the Premier League than Bolton and Reading. God, I'm going to upset, not only upsetting the Leeds fans, I'm going to upset the Bolton and Reading fans now who are tuned in on their Friday night.
If they're watching, that is weird. At least we played Leeds. Okay. I really hate when you do that when it's live, especially, because if it wasn't live, we'd just edit it out. But when I say something, I expect you to reply. We've done 20 minutes then. Is there anything else that we've forgotten about? Because when we've won, it's very easy to sit and go, Christ, it's an hour's just flown by talking about that. Have we missed anything there? Because, you know, it's 20 past 10 on a Friday night.
The only thing that I wanted to mention, which I found quite amusing, was apparently Ash, who's been at the game tonight, says that Trezeguet changed his boots before the game. Did you see that?
I didn't see that, no.
But he used Bielsa's call box to sit down and change his boots, which I thought was
Why? I'll tell you what, seeing as there's Leeds fans watching, why does Bielsa do that? The sitting on the bucket thing, is there a story behind that? Because I just think it's weird.
Just perspective, isn't it? Just so we can... I mean, have you ever done the stadium tour, haven't you? Played at Villa Park as a fan?
I've never played there, but I've been on the tour a couple of times, yeah.
The dugouts are just a crap place to watch from, aren't they?
Yeah, but is it being any better being crouched down on the dugout than it is to be stood up?
Well, the dugout's just a lower perspective still. I think he does it everywhere, doesn't he? So it's not just at Villa Park.
No, yeah, yeah, I know that. I'm just saying it looks weird. I don't get it.
I quite like it.
Okay.
I'm never a fan of managers sitting in. It's so stupid sitting. I think it's one of the worst perspectives to watch a football match from. Directly pitch side. So I think if you can vary it up and actually get a wider view of what's happening, whether I'd bring my own kind of cool box with me, mini scotch eggs and all that kind of stuff, I'm not sure.
So we've had a comment from Jesus Christ on YouTube, who's a Leeds fan. He says, bet these two blanks have never even been to Leeds. Have you been to Leeds, Matt?
I've never been to Elm Road, no. No, I've been to a student house party in Leeds, which was decent.
Oh, nice.
That's a long time ago. That's probably the last time Villa were top of the league in 2001.
Did you have hair then as well?
I did, right? Yeah. I think that was probably the night I left it. I left my hair in Leeds.
Is that when you still slept with Aston Villa bedsheets as well in your Aston Villa bedroom?
Can you see my little pillows on my shoulder?
I tell you what, that's great for the Leeds fans that watch it, because I probably do think that is your bedroom.
It's my little bed sit, yeah. What does it matter whether we've been to Leeds?
I haven't been to Leeds. I've got no intention of going there. Sorry, Jesus Christ. people have given us a couple of suggestions of things to talk about before we go, so we might as well do that. People are saying that the bucket is a perfect level for him to analyse, which sounds like absolute nonsense, but okay. So a couple of people have asked to talk about the goal that wasn't, the goal line clearance from Jack's attempt, which could have changed the game, couldn't it, I guess, if that went in, which is a cliche.
Yeah, like I said, I think the first goal would have been, you know, has proved to be very important. It didn't go in, did it? So we lost the game. We lost the game 3-0. It's Friday night.
I was going to say, do you feel like when you're losing the will to live? Because I do.
I want to have some more flumps, some more punk IPA, and I want to go and watch some old episodes of Alan Partridge to cheer myself up, basically.
Nice. One thing that's just come through that's reminded me was that I did find interesting, actually, from their end, was taking off the guy who replaced Calvin Phillips after 20 minutes because he'd had a booking and then did another silly challenge right after. I thought that was pretty, a nice kind of ruthless thing to go, look, he might get sent off. I'm making a decision 20 minutes in. I quite like that.
No, I do. I like decisive management like that. And he'd have been going off that pitch in the first half one way or another.
Yeah, he was a walking red card, wasn't he, after that?
You might as well take it into your own hands. I've had enough, mate. Is there anything?
No, someone's just asked how your fish and chips was, which I am genuinely more interested in that, to be honest. So how was that?
It was 600 all right.
600 people watching.
Yeah, I went to the one opposite the Stag in Halesbury.
Again?
Can't for all the Leeds fans watching. I can't remember what it's called. We just had, not for me, 3 pieces of cod, 4 bags of chips. Forgot the mushy peas, so I was in the doghouse. But yeah, it was all right, mate. It was all right. Chippy Friday now. We didn't used to be a Chippy Friday family, but we've become it now because we can't be asked by the time it gets to Friday. Not that I cook anyway, but Mr. Kendrick can't be asked to cook.
So I've got a nice little personal story that seeing as we're sharing. Today was my first day of isolation ending. So I could leave the house today for the first time, which was nice. That was a nice bit of fresh air.
What have you been?
I went for a run, actually. It was terrible, by the way. Not going for a couple of weeks, I was dying. So, yeah, that wasn't fun. But it probably feels what it's like to chase Leeds back on the counter-attack, to be honest. Okay, then.
I'm done, mate.
Yeah, let's go out of here. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. 600 people watching, 500 of those Leeds fans. We appreciate it, though. All good for the numbers for the Facebook page. We're not complaining. We'll be back next week. I think James Rushton is doing another episode of AFC Extra in the week. I don't know what that'll be about, but it's every Wednesday or Tuesday, so he's got to do something. Be nice for him to do some work for a change. We'll be back after the Southampton game, where hopefully it's a bounce-back win for Villa. And yeah, we'll see you again soon, I guess.
I've got the week off, Dan.
Oh, have you got the week off?
Yeah, I'm going to go down the tip and do some wanging. I'm going to wang all the rubbish down the tip.
Oh, God, I hope the connection was okay there. Nobody misheard that. We might not be doing one of these ever again. Right, thanks everyone for tuning in. We'll see you again soon. Lots of Leeds fans saying goodbye. Goodbye, Leeds fans. We'll catch you again soon.
Thank you for listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, then please let us know. We love hearing your feedback. We'll be back soon with another episode. Until then, up the Villa.